Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Back with another episode of Winona Forever.
Today we're talking about the movie that the last one movie that Winona has done and in 2018 called Destination Wedding, and she did it with her lifetime friend Keanu Reeves.
Yes, everybody was really excited about this when it was announced.
Yes, and they're the only two characters that have talking parts in the entire film.
Yeah,
it's just the two of them. So the plot and all, I don't know, it's just like, you know, Frank is Keanu, Lindsay is Lindsay.
It's finally happening when yeah. this morphed into me,
except
please, she is not me.
Maybe the next movie she'll play like Rekha.
There you go.
You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But they meet on their way to Destination Wedding, and they discover they have a lot in common. They both hate the bride, the groom, and the wedding themselves and each other.
Because you're a monkey who doesn't understand the human condition.
Having met you, I understand why it's a condition.
And as the weekend's events continually force them together and their cheerlessness immediately isolates them from other guests, Frank and Lindsay find out that if you verbally spar with someone long enough, anything can happen. This is the description on the something.
On the something.
On the web.
On the internet.
The internet's webs.
Yeah,
this was an interesting little one.
So we talked about this already on the Keanu Club podcast on this very network.
But it was like a year ago when we did this.
It was like right when this came out because I think they were done the podcast and they were just doing new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Rekha really didn't like it, and the rest of us, I think, liked it. Yeah. You were like, probably like, what is happening?
I was like, what the fuck?
How am I surrounded by people
like
this?
I want to go home. I was home.
You probably were home.
I was home.
Yeah. So was I.
I was just, I had a really bad experience watching it the first time, and I couldn't get over the transphobic comments in it, and I just didn't think it was necessary to do it. Like, you can make people despicable and not have to be, and have to do that. And the way that it was written, and on second watching, I still found that it was problematic.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and it was because, and you can tell by the writer that they were just ignorant about the subject, and that was their opinion. And it wasn't Keanu, it was the writer, and it was the writing. Because this whole film is a writer's film. Mm-hmm. Someone who has overwritten a script.
Totally.
Completely overwritten. Every scene, it's a stage play.
Yeah.
First of all, every scene is staged. They don't really move anywhere. They're always in one spot, and they're talking. It's like it's done in scene one, they're in this room, scene two, they're in this room, the scene, you know, it's I didn't,
they're at the airport, they're on the plane, they're in at the rehearsal dinner,
they're in their hotel,
exploring
their baggage, now they're at the rehearsal dinner,
there's totally not a lot of movement. The most movement is when they're in the like going on a walk.
It was like a lazy person's film because you could just lay it out and be like, okay, this is what happens at a destination wedding, and they literally wrote the program for the wedding and scenes for each thing that happens at a wedding. Like, you know, oh, this is when we do at the bubble soccer, we'll have them talking here. At the wine tasting, we'll have them talking here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, or have them running away and having sex in the grass. And then, you know, whatever.
Right.
That was the only different thing.
Totally. I think they set it up. They set up their despicableness, but like their brand of despicableness really early when Keanu finds out that she is like a lawyer for like, I don't remember exactly, but she like
some PC.
He calls her the politically correct police and then asks her if she dreamt of a career in reverse fascism. And like,
Yeah, it's like pretty obvious that like the writer of this thing, like I said, it feels like it was written by a boomer because like Keanu is in his mid 50s, but I'm like, even the attitude of his character feels too old for him.
Right.
But the writer, Victor Levin, is 58.
Yes.
I feel like that's also too young for him, but maybe not. Maybe. I don't know.
No, it's boomer.
It's the right area, I guess. Well, then I guess, because Keanu's like 55 or something. So.
Yeah, but like, even, yeah, it was like, it was too old for him.
It felt right.
Yeah. Like, he was just, you know, given up on the world, given up on everything.
He hated people.
But didn't want to die ever. And like, you know, just hated people. And
yeah. Winona was slightly better than him.
Yeah, she had a little bit more redeeming, a little bit, but not much. Like, she was also like, I just found her acting wasn't that terrific in this one.
Yeah, I agree. It was a lot kind of line reading.
To watch. Yeah, line, like the first scene where they're like trying to open the bag of thing. And you could tell like when she's trying to open it, that she's fake trying to open it. And it really bothered me. I was like, oh, you know, just... You don't have to act, you know, just try to open it. I don't know. You know, she's breathing on the plants. I mean, that's something.
Right. They gave them annoying traits off the top. She breathes on plants for photosynthesis purposes or something.
And he has that thing in his neck, you know, that back of your ear thing. He does that throughout the movie.
Yeah.
That's
a nice sound. They have a whole debate. This is another badness thing about them. They have a debate over, so like the whole thing is that she is the groom's ex-fiance and he is the groom's brother, and somehow they never met before because Frank doesn't have a relationship with his family, so he doesn't really see his brother.
He doesn't like his brother, but
so she knows the mom, so they both know the mom obviously because it's his mom and she knows her from, you know, having been the fiance previously, and they're having a debate over whether it's worse that her husband left her for a younger or older woman, because he left her for an older woman, and they're just talking about how shameful that is for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I don't know. Like, first of all, that woman didn't look older.
She didn't look that much older, but they were like, how could he even how could he even call her a girlfriend? She's older. She's old. She's 78. She's not a girlfriend. And like,
and then he's like, well, what would you call her? Just
like dialogue ever. And I was like, what is going on here?
He says, what's a better thing to call her? And she says, an ossified pre-dead corpse friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. But like the second title of the film or something was a narcissist can't die because his entire world would end.
Right.
Which is like Keanu, I guess.
Totally. They're pretty terrible people.
So like, it's really like, and I think I said this, I feel like I said this maybe before, but like, I have a hard time watching characters that I don't, that are despicable,
right,
for the whole thing, because you know that they're rotten, so you get to see like rotten people do rotten things the whole time, and you're just like,
why do I want to watch this?
Yeah, what's good about this? Like, what am I watching this for? What is the point? What am I learning? And there's not much there.
Right? Like, do they learn to be better people? It doesn't seem like
they just learn to, you know,
they learn to kind of like each
other. Coexist miserably. Like, you know, they both found each other because they're both assholes.
Right.
And good for them. But, like, what does that do for us? You know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. So I didn't re-listen to our Keanu Club episode. I think what I was blinded by the first time I watched it was just that it was Keanu and Winona together. And I was like, yay, I get to watch them together.
Wanted it to be something so much different. Like, I really thought it would be at least a cheesy romantic comedy, like a stupid Adam Sandler kind of along those lines. For some reason, I thought that because it's called Destination Wedding.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
This is a wannabe Woody Allen movie.
It was 100% because they had the title cards and it was, you know,
jazz music in the background of everything.
So much jazz. The dialogue, you know, this is the relationship should be like this. And blah, 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 blah. But it was just like so overwritten. Like, people don't talk like that. They just don't. It wasn't, you know, and they were just, and they were acting, and you could tell they were acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
especially with her. I feel like he did a better job.
Yes.
Of playing that character,
mm-hmm.
which maybe isn't great because he was a horrible guy and like worse than her.
And there's one scene they were like snuggling in the bed and she does this like weird like thing like with the pillow and you're like, and it just looked so awkward, like poorly directed too. Like there's just, she's trying to work with, she's got nothing to work with. She doesn't know what to do. And I think some of the lines seem improvised and I don't think it worked. The improvisation worked. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like there was moments where it got a little comfortable. Like maybe when they were in the bed chatting together, like it got a little better.
Yeah. There were
some good moments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still liked the sex scene the second time around in the
field.
Oh,
yes.
I still thought it was like so uncomfortable. And I kind of just enjoyed the fact that it was like awkward.
Yeah.
Of course it would be, and it's in a weird like wheat field. Like, yes. Two horrible people having sex in a wheat field would be terrible. Also, having just been like run down by again, what was the cat? They were debating it.
Mountain lion. They kept saying it was a mountain lion. Yeah. And she was like, it's a cheetah. And he's like, no, it's not a cheetah. And like,
yeah.
They wouldn't agree on it, I guess.
Yeah. And that was annoyed by them, so they saved themselves from it by annoying it.
His line, I wrote down the line he wrote. He said, "I haven't felt pleasure since 2006."
Right? Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And she said, "I just feel the absence of pain sometimes, which is almost like pleasure." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys talk about that stuff, like when you talk about not liking it, I totally agree. Like I said, oh, that sounds, yeah, I can see that we'd be disappointed. But then with every example you give, you make it sound really watchable.
Yeah, like we were just talking to Candace, and like I said all the things I didn't like about it. She goes, oh, fuck, I gotta see this. And I was like, she's like, do they have sex? And she's like, fuck, yes. And I was like, oh, okay. She was ready to go see it. Like, I don't know.
I think if you cut out some of the really critical, horrible, like the transphobic stuff that they say, I think if you cut that out, like you still might not like it. But I feel like I could be won over by it. Like, yeah. I obviously was won over by it the first time we watched it.
I think it was like they just let anyone officiate at weddings. And it was like, yeah, he's pansexual. And they were just like talking about that. And then they were talking about like, oh, they let this person. And they were just talking about people. And it just like,
and like, does he have a congregation and stuff?
Yeah.
I feel like I could.
And then we're like, oh, is it a woman who thinks she's a man? Or like, they were just saying things like that.
What
and like,
the different
yeah,
like distinctions
what
are.
What are you doing? And why then, are you saying this?
And then that character at the reception afterwards was dancing with a man and a woman together. Like they were a threesome holding it, like, and dancing around.
And it looked
around.
So fake. Like,
and it
was just
seemed like it was
like a parody. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was a parody of like, this person's pansexual, so of course they can only dance with two
people
at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That was, I feel like they could have had a conversation about the fact that anybody can like register online with a credit card to be an officiant at a wedding, and they didn't have to turn it into this whole like
othering
sexuality.
The queers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. queer people, they're so weird.
They let queer people officiate weddings. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
pretty much that was what it's ended up being.
Yeah, and then they talked about like their privilege at one point, I think, in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That part, I wrote it down. I don't know where it is in my notes, but I basically wrote, like, they're basically negating this movie because he's saying, like, I can understand, like, when people say, like, first world problem, they don't say that word, but, like, basically
1%,
privilege and,
yeah.
like, who cares about the privilege and their problems? And I kind of agree, like, who should care about them? And I'm like, cool. So we shouldn't care about a single thing you're talking
exactly.
about. Why are we listening
so
to
why
you?
Are we listening to this film? It's like, yeah, we're not. Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you find that throughout this whole movie, Winona's facial expressions were variations on the different facial expressions she makes in that acceptance speech?
Yes. Exactly. 100%. I was going to like make a note of that. Like, that's what I was saying when she was like in that scene, she's in the bed and she's like, doesn't know what she's doing. And she's trying to fix the pillow. She's making all those expressions. I'm like, oh, Winona, Stop. Pick an expression. Go with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
She wasn't sure. Like, so I'm saying she wasn't directed. Like, there weren't. Yeah. Like, she was singing, "Oh, Danny Boy in the Shower." Like, this.
Yeah, she was singing Danny Boy in the Shower, and he was trying to sing along.
And that scene in bed with the groove chew, I thought, like...
Oh, the groove chew. Oh, my God. That's the most annoying thing.
What the hell was that? Like, that was so weird.
She, the groove chew, for those who are listening to this without watching the movie, is her something she coined, which is just, like, how you chew when you really enjoy something, but, like, it's the most exaggerated thing, and, yeah, like, so there's
no,
like, way.
Yeah, so you're, like, chewing and dancing, waving your arms at the same time, while you're, and you're, like, really enjoying your food.
Yeah.
And then I guess he tries to do it in a weird way.
The weirdest part...
But I wasn't sure why.
Because she's not chewing anything. No. He's eating the chocolate.
Yeah.
And she's fake chewing. Fake chewing.
And he, like, objectifies her and talks about how all the things he likes about her physically.
That's right. He did go on a really long,
and
specific.
Her calves and her ankles and her body weight and had the amount of food she eats and the amount of food she doesn't eat. And that was really interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. And then she was like, "Do you want me to do that to you?" And he's like, "No." But then she does.
Doesn't she say when they're in bed, "What if our real destination was each other?"
Yeah.
And then he says, "What if you never say that again?"
Yeah. He said, yes.
Yeah, oh boy. That's kind of making fun of, like, the types of lines that would be in a destination wedding type movie, which is fair. And that's maybe good.
She also says mission accomplished, which she says... And she says it in a kind of angry, sarcastic way. And she says that in Reality Bites. Well, mission accomplished.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was one line where they're in bed and, like, this is when they're just so obnoxious there at the end. And then all of a sudden she's like, "Why do we live?" And he goes, "Jesus Christ."
Ah, he said Jesus.
Yeah.
Why
do we live?
Oh, boy.
Chris wants to see this now.
Yeah, he really does. I'm sure he's reading about it right now. I feel like all the best parts that I wrote down were in that sex scene. Like the fact that he's like holding his tie so it doesn't hit her in the face. And the fact that she looks at his face and says, "You look like you're going to vomit." I mean. And then the line, which I'm sure we all quoted in the Keanu Club episode we did. There's kelp at or near my vagina.
Oh, yes. Like, it's not kelp, it's grass.
Right.
We're in a field.
Right.
She's like, "I was thinking because you said you thought you saw crabs earlier, but they were tarantulas." I'm like, sure. What? It's all absurd. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Come on.
I still think there are enjoyable elements of this movie, sure. Obviously, with that, with the, the sex scene I like, but everything else, yeah, no, they're horrible.
She makes him carry her, and she goes, "Oh, yeah. Carry me." And then she says something really, the one thing she said really funny, it was like,
"This is the slowest I've ever been carried.
God, you gotta be quiet."
The way she said it, too, that was really good.
It was good delivery.
I feel like it might be in the trailer.
Oh, really?
That line, yeah. Yeah, just watch the trailer, guys. That's good enough.
Yeah. You don't get the gist
you don't
of it
get
there.
The sex scene, but you get, you know, enough.
We're skipping to the sex scene. I don't know.
Yeah, just skip to that. I don't know. Yeah, it's too bad. I want a movie. Like, I still want a movie to happen that's a Keanu Winona vehicle that is more enjoyable.
Yeah, I wish it was more enjoyable.
Because I like the idea of a movie where they're the only people with dialogue. That's great.
I know, but the dialogue was just...
I know. Yeah.
Like, one of my second notes is just overwritten. Period. Yeah. It's just like, what is Keanu saying? You know what I mean? Like, is he reading from a teleprompter?
Absolutely.
Actually, you know, he could have been.
They totally could have been. They're like, menus on the table might have had all their lines on it. Who knows?
Very wordy.
Because it did feel like their reactions to each other just seemed like false. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure this is a departure from what I said last time, but I didn't enjoy. I don't think it. I think a second watch is unnecessary. Uh-oh, what's Chris laughing at? Oh, Chris likes the quotes. I think on paper this sounds like it's going to be a good thing. I'm sure you were looking forward to it.
Like it's you want it to be good. It's just not. It doesn't. It just falls flat. You know,
it does.
Tries too hard to be something.
Yeah,
and it has. It's written by a boomer with bad politics.
Totally,
which throws it all.
Did you rewatch it?
Yeah, today.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
I really was like, I don't know, Freco, we watched this because I had to because
I you know blocked it out of my mind, right. So I didn't remember any of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think even at the time you're like, well, we'll see what I think about it next time when we have to talk about it months from now. And I'm like, so will I. Yeah. Well, we don't recommend this movie.
Nah. But,
you know, watch Stranger Things. That's the Winona thing to watch at this moment in time.
We'll see what else she's got in the works. I think there's something in the works.
There is. It's like a, I don't know if it's HBO or if it just feels like it's HBO. If we're both like, let's check IMDb. Let's check quickly.
I was going to ask, what is the best holiday Winona movie?
Little Women.
Holiday.
Little Women. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Little Women. What do you mean? Why? Why even ask such a movie?
You know, but they don't.
Well, other people would say Edward Scissorhands, except Johnny Depp now is useless. So, like, you know, it's not really appealing.
Somebody bought me an Edward Scissorhands T-shirt.
Oh.
Recently, and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I cut half of it.
Cut his face. Well, she's not even on it. It's just Edward Scissorhands. So I'm like, oh, it's Johnny Depp.
Oh no.
It was a very nice thought. The gift.
Yes.
What are we looking up? Oh yeah, her new thing. The Plot Against America.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Philip Roth novel.
Oh, there you go. Oh. And is it here the questions are, who's it produced by? Is it for HBO? I want to know the answers to this. She's not listed right at the top, so I don't know how much of a character she is, which makes this
and that little girl's
harder.
In it. What's her name? She's not that little. John Turturro's in it. Hello.
Oh, that's something.
And Zoe Kazan.
Anyway, I don't know. Going back to Jersey. That's true. It is produced in Jersey. Oh.
Joyzy.
Yeah. You're like, no. Joyzy. Well, I just want to know if it's going to be an HBO thing. Like, the production company matters in the sense that I want to know what it's going to be on. But original network, HBO.
Hello.
That's what Wikipedia has to say about it.
The home box office, I call it.
Oh, well then. So there you go. I don't know when it's going to come out. It says... It's in post-production right now. Who knows when it's coming out, but it is an HBO production. So we have that to look forward to, because what do we have left? We have season 3 of Stranger Things next.
Yes.
Then we have to, like, make up for things we missed, like the miniseries about
the
AA.
Yes.
And I don't know. We could try and find short films. That's the only other thing we haven't done is some of the short films.
Whether we can find them or not
is a big challenge. But then that's it. Until either season 4 of Stranger Things or I'm assuming this miniseries will be first.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Woo.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe?
Doing this for like two years? In February, it'll be 2 years.
Holy.
So we won't even make it to 2 years before we're out. Huh. Guys, thanks.
We should have a rap party.
Yeah.
We should have like one episode with like 10 people on it. Bring
back all the guests to talk about the AA miniseries.
All the significant others.
Really chaotic.
Get Ruby.
Yeah, get Matt and Ruby.
Meeps will be. Yeah, her first broadcast.
Yeah, Meeps can talk about what was the book that she knew and liked.
Yeah, the South American one there.
I know, I can picture that. I can picture it, but I can't think of what it's
Jeremy
called.
Jeremy Irons. There we Jeremy's go. Iron.
Ah, it all comes back around.
House of the Spirits.
There you go. We'll find some special things to do, maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
We will
stay tuned.
All right, come back for season 3 of Stranger Things.
Yes.
Which I have yet to watch.
Bye.
Bye.
See you around like a donut. No.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.